Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 321 all the stanzas. How blessed the perfect in the way, who from God's law do not depart, who, holding fast the word of truth, seek him with undivided heart. All the stanzas of Psalter 321.
scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to Luke and thereof chapter 4, the first 15 verses. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 4, the first 15 verses. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of the earth, thou who art the great shepherd of Israel, thou who leadest Joseph like a flock, thou who dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth, shine upon us and upon our children, for thou knowest how that we live in the midst of this world. We are born without God and without hope in this world. As sons and daughters of our father Adam, in a broken covenant, and with a loyalty to that prince of darkness of whom that we have just read together did tempt thee, even the Son of God, in thy time here upon this world, then it will not be the portion of thy people to escape such temptations while they remain here below. Thou knowest each and every one of thy own. O Lord, what is their strength against the devil? O that thou may uphold them, for thou knowest all that they also must endure. That thou wouldst lead thy people who has led them like a flock through the wilderness, who didst put thy wall and thy fence about thy church, without whom no man is able to touch them, and without whom a hair is not able to fall from their heads. Oh, that they may be given also a blessed looking unto thee. They cannot see thee except that thou wilt show thyself, and the tokens of thy nearness may be felt. Oh, that they may be given to see something of that pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of the fire by night. That they may feel that thou leadest and that thou never leavest and that thou never forsakest them. But as thy dear son had to go 40 days in the wilderness without food, then it can be that so many questions are also arising in the hearts of thy children concerning thy nearness, concerning thy favor, whether thou art theirs and they are thine. Oh, that thou may appear unto thy people as we have heard it also in this morning hour. Oh, then there is nothing that they are able to take from their own side. For it is a given salvation that may be received by a true saving faith. And all that is a gift of thee for the first time or by renewal, oh, that thou may shine forth also in the poor days in which we are living with our children. When thou hidest thy face, oh, could it please thee to shine forth from the heavens once again? Oh, return unto us, Lord. Thou knowest all our iniquity. Oh, that thou mayest put it away. What man is able to keep thy law and thy word? Oh, then we are guilty from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. Who is able to put his hand into his own bosom, O Lord, and to take it out clean? What have we to plead before thee but the grace and the mercy of thy only begotten Son? Oh, that thou may apply that precious and that all-atoning blood unto us and unto our children, that thou may look upon thy dear Son and look not upon all our iniquities and all our transgressions and all the corruption that continues to live within our hearts. Oh, wilt thou wash it away? Wilt thou cleanse us, give us new hearts of flesh, that we may learn to walk according to all thy commandments, that we may be upright, that we may be pure, that thou wouldst take away all iniquity, O Lord. Remember thou young and old together. Oh, we travel together to a great eternity, and serious is our life. For we have one soul to lose or to gain, but we are careless creatures going over this world seeking that which does not profit. Oh, we beseech thee to bind the seriousness of life upon young and old, that thou may give the serious thoughts, that thou may give thoughts of thee, the true and the living God, that thou wouldst draw us that we might run after thee. Oh, bless thy word to that end that has been read in this morning hour, that we hope to bring in this afternoon hour, that we might know what our sin is, that we may know what it is. Also, to see something of that blessed deliverance in thee. Wilt thou supply for our youth, our children, our upgrowing generation, when they are surrounded in a special way by all the temptations of the prince of darkness? Thou knowest how that he is loosed more and more in our days, so that even in an outward way, in the lands in which we live, that there is no more restraint to man, but he lives out that which lives within his heart. Oh, that thou may keep our children and our youth. Give them open eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand. Spoil thou them for the world with a little taste of the blessedness of thy kingdom, that they may have a desire to seek the things that are above, where thou sittest on the right hand of glory. Oh, show them what substance is. Show them what vanity is. Give them to flee for their life's sake, for the time is short, and it is fast hastening away. We with our loved ones go each one to that great eternity. Oh, give that this hour then may be profitable, that thou wouldst appear, that thou wouldst speak, that thou wouldst look upon us, that thy word may be as a sharp two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and of spirit, of the joints and of the marrow. Give us to cry out, carry me out of the battle, for I am sorely wounded. Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Look upon our rulers, all that rule and reign over us. Oh, give a bowing in our days, which has not been seen for many years. The means are in thy hand. The hearts are in thy hand. Thou art able to do wonders above all that we can ask or think. Thou art a great God. We may ask of thee great things. It would be a miracle, O Lord, from our side. But with thee, nothing is impossible. Turn us then again. Oh, that we may see and feel something of thy favor in the nations wherein we are. Wilt thou look upon our mission field? Him also that has been accepted to do labors there, that thou may be on his right and on his left hand in a time that he also will go forth. And may thou bless us all the work that is done over the length and the breadth of the world, that the kingdoms of the earth may be brought in, and that we and our children may not be left behind. Be with all that are afflicted. Those that have suffered from serious accidents, thou knowest also where that they are, or that thou may supply for all of those needs. And wilt thou look upon all those that bring thy word, especially those who are under persecution in this world. Wilt thou give courage, wilt thou give thy spirit, wilt thou bring thy word in those places where it has never been, and that thou wouldst put away all the devices of Satan to hinder that word of truth. Remember all thy servants. Wilt thou give more truly sent servants in the midst of our denomination also? In the months that are to come, when in this year we hope again to meet as a curatorium, O Lord, we beseech thee, thou who art able to say to this one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. Oh, we beseech thee that thou may give men in thy favor, converted and called by thee to bring forth thy everlasting law and gospel, that many may be converted unto thee. Look upon our need, O Lord, which is growing every day, and that thou may keep us also by thy truth. O give to us to experience that truth in our hearts for the first by renewal, and give what is necessary to serve also our congregation, and that we may receive the unction of thy Spirit in a rich measure, that we may know how to lead thy people, that we may know how to comfort those that are distraught, that we may know how to say, "Fear not," to those who are afraid, and to rebuke those that do wander. O Lord, we beseech thee for help from the sanctuary also for this afternoon hour. Be thou on our right and on our left. Give strength for the body, wisdom for the mind, thy grace for our soul, thy spirit to speak. Wilt thou put away the buyers and the sellers and give us a blessed attention unto thy word? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 202, stanzas 1 and 2. In doubt and temptation, I rest, Lord, in thee. My hand is in thy hand, thou carest for me. And what follows, we make the following announcement. This is the first wedding announcement of Mr. Alex van der Bruinhorst and Miss Megan Nienhuis, who hope to be married in Ontario on Friday, January 26th. Lawful objections should be brought to the attention of the consistory by Monday, January 22nd. The last collection today is for the Fort MacLeod Building Fund, Psalter 202, 1 and 2. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, Luke 4, and thereof the 13th verse. Luke 4, verse 13, where we read, "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." So far, the words of our text. The victory of Christ over all the temptations of the devil in three thoughts. First, concerning the lust of the flesh. Second, concerning the lust of the eyes. And third, concerning the pride of life. The victory of Christ over all the temptations of the devil. First, concerning the lust of the flesh. Second, concerning the lust of the eyes. Third, concerning the pride of life. John, congregation, writes, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Adam was tempted concerning all of these. Because the devil said to him in the first place concerning food, as we read that he spoke to Eve, that Eve may see that tree that was good for food. And so she has presented that forbidden tree to her husband Adam in a successful way, tempting him in the lust of his flesh. Adam, in a covetous way, has also desired, according to the lust of his eyes, a knowledge that was not given to him. That is, we read, a knowledge of good and evil. And under Satan's temptation, has also desired a place in pride of God himself. Adam, he fell under the temptation of all of these. That was even in the state of his innocence. So that he has brought forth generations of proud, of covetous, and of pleasure-seeking men. The devil, he has attempted in all of these also to tempt the Lord Jesus himself, that he may make also the restoration of that church, his church, to be impossible. But what does Paul write? He says, "But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Matthew writes that Christ was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, that he may be tempted of the devil. Thus, led by the Spirit. Satan is able to tempt no one outside of the permission of God. Only read the book of Job, where we read that the devil, he had to ask for the permission of the Lord. But the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and to pray, "Lord, lead us not into temptation. Why? Because of the strength of the devil. If Adam fell in his innocence, how much more shall we fall in our depravity under those same temptations? They are temptations which will not be unknown to young and old. Do we ever feel something of our weakness, that we need to cry unto the Lord, that the Lord would deliver us in those temptations? Led by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. We would say, why? How is that possible? And that the Spirit of the Lord is leading Christ Himself into or for that temptation. It was different with Christ than it is with us. In the first place, because of the power of Christ, which we do lack. But in the second place, because of the purpose for which Christ came. For He has come for that very purpose, that He may enter into that warfare with Satan himself. Because of the weakness of the church, and that He may overcome the devil. And thus, how can Christ overcome in that warfare when He has never entered into that warfare? At the same time, we can read how Christ gives to us instruction as we are called in following Him to be in this warfare. Because it was possible, children, that the Lord Jesus immediately would destroy the devil so that He could speak to him no more. But we don't read that. But we read that the Lord Jesus suffers Himself to be tempted of the devil, and He chooses to use that sword of the Spirit that He may give instruction to His church, even unto the end of the world, how also they are to fight in the attempt to overcome. As with Christ Himself, that church is subject to seasons of temptation. 40 days, we read, that the Lord Jesus was tempted of the devil. And it is the very end of those 40 days, the last part of that temptation only, that we read of. It is most likely the most ferocious part, that hellish dog has come against the Lord Jesus Christ, which is recorded in the Bible. We read when the devil had to leave that lunatic boy, that immediately before that he left him, that he tear him. That was in the attempt, in the last moments, that he may destroy that boy. And so the Lord Jesus also, in the end of these 40 days, the devil in his rage at all his unsuccessful attempts, he attempts in the end to destroy the Lord Jesus. We do not know how that Satan tempts a person, because we cannot see the devil. The devil is a spirit, and the devil goes about in this world. He is under a chain, but he is given permission. And he is entering even into the heart, into the thoughts of men. And he is working along with, according to their natural faculties, so that it is not possible for us to make a distinction between those things that come up within our own minds and those suggestions that are made unto us from the devil himself. But it is evident that some of God's people, from time to time, they are plagued. They are plagued with those suggestions that are coming out of that pit of hell. And indeed, if it was so with the Lord Jesus himself, then how can we expect that the rest of his church is going to altogether escape those temptations? We read here that the devil, he is coming in the very beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. It is one of the first things that we read after the Lord Jesus begins his official duties here in this world. And this indeed is one of the special objects of Satan, that is to come against, to fight against that work of the Spirit in the midst of this world, that he may prevent that word from going out all over this world. And thus God's servants, they are by times the special objects of the temptation of the devil. We can read Paul, he writes, of the messenger of Satan that was there to buffet him. And so Paul needed in a special way that grace of God that he may uphold him under the temptations of the devil. These temptations, they are also more common as soon as the Lord has given to his people a blessing. Because we read that also here, from where is Christ coming? We read, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. What happened there at Jordan? There we read that the Lord Jesus was baptized. And during that baptism, we read that the Father himself did speak. What a blessing. When the Father said to his Son, "Thou art my beloved Son." Did you ever desire to hear such words from the Lord himself? How necessary also for the Lord Jesus Christ as a man in this world and as he was ready to go forth to do his official work. But Satan is always there to attempt to rob from God's church the blessings which the Lord has given unto them. And so we read immediately after he comes out of that Jordan that he is brought into the wilderness. And there in that wilderness, then he must hear this suggestion from Satan himself. If he does not say thou art, he says, if thou be the Son of God. Thus he is calling this into question within the mind, within the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Thus Satan, there immediately to try to rob the church of their divine favors. And then what does he seek? He seeks the most fundamental comforts, the most fundamental expectations that are living in the heart of his people, that he may destroy them, that he may take them away. Because the divinity of Christ, if thou be the Son of God, is one of the most fundamental points of doctrine that is so necessary for the salvation of the church. And if this can be overthrown, then the entire redemption of God that is completely overthrown? Oh, if the Son of God, if He must endure such suggestions from the devil himself, if thou be the Son of God, if the only begotten of the Father must hear this from the devil, oh, then how much more shall the devil be given certain liberties that he may make the adopted sons of God to question their sonship? That is the reason that Paul, he writes, give diligence to make your election sure, your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. The defenses of the church, they need to be set up here. The bulwarks, that they may protect those comforts which are laying so close to the hearts of God's children. What is the place? What is the place that we read this temptation occurs? We read it occurs in the wilderness. The wilderness, that is a place of solitude where no one else is. That is a place that is very conducive to the temptations of the devil. Do we know what solitude is? When we are under temptation, then it is necessary, it is profitable that we flee solitude. Because in solitude, Satan has our ear. In solitude, Satan has his advantages. Oh, be not in solitude, that you be not alone with the devil, but seek that company that is able, especially under the directions of the Lord Jesus Christ, to guide and to aid in that warfare against all the temptations of the devil. The temptations of the devil, they are very strong. The temptations of the devil are not that which we are able to overcome in our own strength. Not only so, but those temptations, they are fitted. Those temptations, they are directed. Those temptations, they are timed. Satan, he is bringing those temptations along with the circumstances of our life. The Lord Jesus is hungry. He has fasted for 40 days. And in that fast, he experiences in the end a very great hunger. That is part of his humiliation. That is part of the sufferings which he has endured for his church. In his hunger, Satan does not tempt Christ with honor. In his hunger, Satan does not tempt Christ with riches. No, in his hunger, Satan tempts Christ with food. Why? Because food that is exactly suitable to the circumstances that the Lord Jesus is in. Thus, it is a temptation according to the lust of our flesh. And it is manifesting who Christ is, that he is not only God in his ability to sustain that hunger, but that he is also man in the fact that that hunger that is laying upon him as a great need. And it is because of this hunger that the temptation of Satan that is so, so very powerful If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. What do you think, children? Do you think that actually would have been wrong of the Lord Jesus? To make a stone into bread, we read, when the Lord Jesus, he was with the multitude and they were hungry, that he has multiplied the bread. It was just a little bit and he made it much. We read also when the Lord Jesus was at that wedding, that the Lord Jesus, he made water into wine. So would that have been so wrong of the Lord Jesus? If in his great hunger and he needed food, that he would make this stone into bread. In and of itself, it would not have been wrong. But it would have been wrong in these circumstances. And why? Well, in the first place, because it was the suggestion of the devil. And in the second place, because accompanying this suggestion was the suggestion that he was not actually the Son of God. Thus, it was to doubt his own sonship and to try to prove that sonship, as it were, with a suggestion and a method that came out of hell. In the third place, Satan has questioned the very providence of God as his Father. Satan says to Christ, as it were, he says, God says that you are his Son. God says that he is your Father. But look at you. You have been 40 days in the wilderness. Look at you. Feel that hunger that is living within you. Does God then care for you? Is he truly your Father? He is not your Father. You must help yourself. You must perform a miracle. You have to provide for yourself. You have to make your own bread. Otherwise, you will surely die. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Satan says you must make your own bread. Christ says, Satan, Israel was 40 years through the wilderness, and they have not lived off their own bread. But they have lived off the word of God from heaven to make them every day this bread. Satan, Elijah did not need to make his own bread. The Lord gave to him from the ravens of heaven. The Lord provided for him from the most unlikely source in all the earth, from a widow woman. Satan. Moses went 40 days and he did eat no bread at all. And must I now, in doubt as it were of my Father, attempt to make provision for myself? Satan. He suggests the wrong assumptions. As if the most important thing is the means, and not he who has to bless those means. Oh, do we know also something of those suggestions of that prince of darkness? And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. We read the devil took him. Can the devil just take Christ? Has the devil power over Christ, that he may now take him to a mountain? Congregation, consider the humility of Christ, because there was nothing that Satan could do without the permission of God. But Satan, but Christ, he has suffered his blessed body to be brought hither and thither over the world by Satan himself. Adam chose Satan. He chose Satan to be his guide, to be his master. He chose to follow Satan. And when Christ came into this world, he has subjected himself, as it were. He has given Satan permission even to lead him from place to place. And now he presents before him on that mountain all the world, gives him to see, as it were, presents before him the kingdoms of the world and all the honor, the riches, and the glory of the world. And he offers it to him. Did he ever do that to you too? To offer you all the kingdoms, the riches, the glory of the world? How is that possible that Satan can offer unto Christ the world? Does Satan own the world? Or is the world owned by God, and God distributing to every man in the world as he will? Satan is a liar. He is the liar from the beginning. He is a great boaster. Satan does not own one square millimeter in this world. Satan has no ability to give anyone anything that is in this world. All the presentations of Satan as if he is able are nothing but lies. Jezebel, that wicked woman, said to her husband, crying with his face to the wall, I will give you Naboth's vineyard. That is the way that Satan is working. And so she has stolen that vineyard from Naboth, and she has given it to her husband. Was it then his, boys and girls? Was it his? It was not his. It was not his from the Lord. And therefore the Lord, he has also taken away the very life of that king and of his wife. The temptation to riches and the glory of this world that is very strong in the natural man. Why? Because we would make our life in this world. Because we see not another world. Because we do not believe that everything that we have in this world is only borrowed. And it is only for a short time. But we have now for you a question. How was this a temptation to Christ? We understand the lust of the flesh. We understand that Christ had a human nature. We understand that there was hunger in his body. And when there was hunger in his body, that he is naturally also going to desire its fulfillment, that is food and drink. But how is this a temptation to Christ? Has he then a desire for all the things that are in this world? Because had there been no desire, it had been no temptation. But it was a temptation. It was a very great temptation. Why? Because, well, just imagine in your mind for a moment. Imagine in your mind that this whole city, this whole town, Fort McLeod, that every one of those neighbors that we have, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, everyone would bow before Christ. Imagine that all the material substance in this whole world, all the kingdoms of the world, that would all be directed for the honor and for the glory of God. Imagine that there would be no Pharisees, no Sadducees, no opposition to Christ in this world. And that the kingdom of God that would flourish in the world, is that a lawful desire of Christ? It is. It is. So we have been created. That was the very reason that the whole world was made. And that man was given as a rational creature the image of God. Thus, a lawful desire of Christ. Something that his heart would naturally have sought after in his holiness. And his desire for the honor and the glory of his Father. But his Father had not given this to him. His Father has given to him an inheritance. His Father has given a seed which should serve him. But his Father has not given unto him every man in this world. Neither has his Father given unto him the world as it is now. But the Father has promised him another world. The Father has promised that there shall be a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and this new heavens and this new earth, that would be his. But now the devil, he says, bow to me. And if you bow to me, then you may use this world for your own and for the glory of your Father. Only worship me. Only serve me. What is now more deceitful than that temptation to obtain unlawful riches in this world? With that thought that we will use them for God's honor. We will get them from the devil, and we will use them for the Lord. Deceitful is man's heart. There are many devices that are living in the heart of a man. But will we now worship Satan in order that we may serve the Lord? Can those two things go together? Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Let us sing. 386, 1, 4, and 8. O Lord, make haste to hear my cry. To thee I call, on thee rely. Incline to me a gracious ear, and when I call, in mercy hear. 386, 1, 4, and 8.
Thank you.
our last thought, the victory of Christ over the temptations of the devil concerning the pride of life. What do we read? And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. What a patience of the mediator, that he suffers himself once again to be tempted of the devil. Those temptations are said to be as the waves of the sea that are breaking one upon the neck of the other. And Christ himself, he has endured this. Why? We read that he may be a compassionate high priest, that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. How difficult is the preparation for such temptations? Why? Because Satan is not only in one place where we may perhaps one time expect him to be, young people, like in the theater or in the bar, we say there we expect him to be. But Satan, he is in many places. And Satan, he is following God's people even to the house of the Lord. And he is carrying his Bible under his arm. He knows it well. Do we also know it? And the closer that people live to God, the stronger that those temptations are, because Satan can rest easy with a formal religion. Why? Because it is a dead religion. Pinnacle of the temple, the highest balcony of the temple, 120 cubits, that's 180 feet high. And Satan says to Christ, Cast thyself down from hence. Satan is a creature of extremes. He says, First, God, he is not your father. He is not taking care of you. You are hungry. You must make your own bread. You must take care of yourself. Now, he says, your father, he will take care of you even if you throw yourself off of this temple. Then it is written in the word, he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. Thus, we have Satan going from one extreme to the next extreme. And in every temptation, there is something that is appealing to us. Otherwise, it would not be a temptation at all. Say, how is this? What could appeal to Christ in this? What does Satan say? Satan says, what a glory that would be when you would throw yourself off of that temple. And when God, he would show himself as your father. And when he would work a great miracle, that you would be able to fall 180 feet and there not be hurt, that the angels of God would protect you. What a trust that would be when you would be able to cast yourself with all your weight upon the word of your father, that he will care for you, that everyone can see what a faith that is, what a glory that shall be. In the midst of Jerusalem, you will be known as the King of Israel. The people, they will magnify thee. The people, they will magnify God. Satan, he is a liar. He has the Bible in his mouth. But that Bible he does not bring in its true and proper sense. Here he even leaves out part of the Bible. Because here he quotes from Psalm 91. And in Psalm 91, there we read that the Lord says he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. But Satan stops there. Where the psalmist says, to keep thee in all thy ways. What is the way for Christ? Is that to throw himself, boys and girls, over that balcony? No, the way that is down the steps. What does the Lord mean in his word when he says he will keep thee in all thy ways? The Lord comforts his people. No matter where that their way leads them, in the home, in by the way, the Lord comforts his people that he will be near to them. And that all danger, he will help them. But he does not say in this that you may now place yourself in danger. That you may throw yourself into danger. No, there is no promise of the Lord for this, young people. Will you throw yourself into danger? To do dangerous things in this world and then try to ask the Lord, Lord, wilt thou keep me? No, you may not do this. No, when the means fail, and when God's children, they are afraid, or they may cry to him. But when those means are available, then they must use them. Then they cannot ask God to do a miracle. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The Pharisees, they said, show us a sign. The Lord Jesus says, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. How many signs he has worked. How? When he cured the sick, when he helped those that were in need, when he spoke like no other man has spoken in this world, were they not signs for them enough? What are now those extremes that Satan is suggesting in your heart? Maybe he says to us, you do not really need to seek, because the Lord converts his people anyway. It is a sovereign work. It is an irresistible work. So, if you go no more to the church, you read no more the Bible, you no more pray, then you are just as sure to be converted as if you do. That is one of the extremes of Satan. To draw a man off of the means whereby the Lord is converting his people. It is a suggestion from the bottom of hell. And that suggestion on the other side, the opposite extreme, that says, when I go to church, and when I read, and when I pray, then I will be converted. And so that man relies only upon the means, and there is no cry to God in the use of the means. What does Satan suggest to the people of the Lord? He says to them, the Lord has never begun. Look at your life. Look how worldly that you are. See how you cleave to the flesh. You are of the earth, earthy. You are not upright. There is so much hypocrisy that still lies in your heart. You are a lover of this world. The Lord, he has not appeared to you for 40 days. You hunger, you thirst, and the Lord, he does not come. And so he makes his people despondent. And then on the other side, those times wherein Satan does say, you may do it. You may go ahead. You do not need to be so precise. It will all be forgiven anyway. And so Satan is bringing darkness and separation in the life of God's children. He is always a creature of these awful and deadly extremes, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. Satan, he will bring high. He does that often in order that he may cast down. A high place, that is a very dangerous place. Because a high place is a place where we can fall. And if the Lord gives to us a position in this world, some honor in this world, it is a real wonder if a man may retain his humility. The Lord, he humbles, that he may exalt. Satan exalts, that he may cast down and destroy. Cast thyself down from hence. Oh, there are many in our world who Satan brings to despair, and he says to them, cast yourself down. He says to them, commit suicide. He is a creature of extremes. On the one side, he sets before our face all this world, all the glory of this world. And you know what he hides? He hides the misery of the world. He says, if you may only gain it, then you will be happy. He presents it as a rose without thorns. And when men begin to feel the disappointment, and when men have no hope, and they begin to experience the depression that is in this world, then he says, put an end to it. See what God will do. It cannot actually be any worse than it is now. And he paints your circumstances, and he paints your future with a pitch black brush. He does not preach faith. He preaches presumption. He does not preach hope. He preaches despair. Young people, if ever, such suggestions would come up in your mind, flee solitude. Eve was all alone when she fell. Satan, he tempted our first parents. Then they fell. And then he left them in the lurch. That is Satan, if you wish to obey him. But the Lord did not leave them. Then the Lord came. Then the Lord gave them his word. And then the Lord declared unto them his only begotten Son. Oh, the devil is a liar. Do not believe him. Devil, he says, there is no hope. Do you know what the Lord says? He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus is coming to the world to save sinners, of whom he said, I am the chief. Oh, why is it that Satan's temptations, they are so successful? It is because we have a place for them in our heart. Otherwise, they would be of no avail. There is always something that is appealing to us. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Oh, what a great power in the Lord Jesus Christ. He overcame what Adam could not overcome. He overcame what you and I also cannot overcome. Oh, we need to be united to him. We need to be united to him, because that is now the only way that we can partake of his strength and of his victory. But then we need first to be cut off from Adam. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. The head of the church, he received a little relief, just for a season. And so all the members, they may receive a little relief, just for a season. But because it is only a season, he has left them instruction in that warfare. What is that instruction? We have heard it over and over. When he has given answer to the devil, then he has said, it is written. Oh, we heard in this morning the blessedness of that word, the certainty of that word. It is written is the answer that needs to come against every temptation of that prince of darkness. Satan abuses the word. Satan twists that word. We cannot twist it. We cannot spiritualize it, as we heard this morning. No. It is the sense of that word of God. And if we may know that we bring that true sense against Satan, then we have confidence in that warfare. But do you know what we read? When the Lord Jesus was going forth in that dark night, when we read, it was night, when Judas went out, then Satan was very close. And when Satan was very close, what did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples? He said, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Watch and pray. Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. If we experience that the flesh is weak, then we do not play with temptation. Young people, what are the two things that are necessary to fall into sin? You know it. The opportunity and the desire. And now if that desire is present, you must flee. You must flee the opportunity. And you must do as Joseph did when he fled out of that house. But there are some times that you cannot flee. There are some times in this world that we have to be there. In that place where the Lord has placed us in this world, and where there is so much opportunity, and then you must cry, O Lord, take away the desire and save my soul. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest all that plagues each and every one. And wilt thou teach us to war? Teach our hands to war. Teach our fingers to fight. But thou sayest also, watch and pray. O Lord, help us. And wilt thou deliver us from these devices of Satan, which are so rampant, especially in our days, when more and more he is loosed according to thy holy word. Oh, that he may not overcome us in the end. But thou who hast had the victory, thou who art stronger than he, give us then to fight. And wilt thou fight for us, deliver us from him and all his devices. Look upon us in the rest of this day. Give us meditation upon thy word of truth. Humble us under gifts received. Forgive all our sins. Be with us in the week that lies before us. Protect young and old from danger, accident, from evil and from sin. Glorify thy name for Jesus' sake. Amen. 319, 3, 4, and 5. In bondage of distress and grief, to God I cried and sought relief. In wondrous love he heard my plea and set my soul at liberty. 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 319. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.